He's talking about the enemy within our country, Pennsylvania. He's talking about that he considers anyone who doesn't support him or who will not bend to his will an enemy of our country. It's a serious issue. He is saying that he would use the military to go after them. Think about this. He's talking about the enemy within our country.
What is this drunk chick saying?
Nobody knows.
It's like some rally that she's speaking at. And I'm trying to figure out like what the point of her remarks are, because she's saying this about Trump, right? She's saying that what Trump is going to put everybody in camps and he's going to make everybody bend the knee and all that. Isn't that what like they were doing? By the way, out of curiosity, I feel like that's what Joe Biden had been saying this whole time and all of that. I'm so done with this election cycle. I wish that an asteroid would come. I would rather die than have to go through another one of these things. I honestly would. I'm so done with it because it's the stupidest cycle ever. And I cannot believe that I got to take this candidate seriously. I mean, it's infuriating. She makes me hate my job. She literally makes me rather die than talk about the stuff that comes out of her mouth. I can't deal with it. I just can't. So hi guys, happy whatever the hell day this is. What is it? It's a day that ends in Y.
It's Tuesday.
It's only Tuesday. Good grief. Dana Lash here with you. I am a little jaded. A little jaded. That's the best way to describe this. I'm a little bit jaded because this is the soundbite. What does she have? She's got nothing. She's got nothing. And we're what? How many weeks away? We've got early voting. It's already started. Texas's early voting starts here pretty soon too. Early voting's already started in a number of states. And if people who don't register to vote, I'm done with them. If you're not registered to vote, if you're not voting, to hell with you. Seriously. I've heard people who are like, I just don't know if it counts. Okay, go ahead and let Democrats win then. Go ahead. Just let them all win. Let them do it. I don't know. Get out and vote. Register everybody else to vote. But this is Kamala Harris, the latest. So this, literally weeks away. And she's struggling. I heard she was going to sit down. Like, she's trying to do interviews with everybody. She's got a sit-down interview that's supposed to air. I don't think they've done it yet, but it's supposed to air Wednesday with Bret Baier. And I just want to make one thing clear, because I've seen this like all over everywhere, all over social media. People, I guess, are mad at Bret Baier. I don't even care. The live to tape, because he was telling everybody that it's going to be a live to tape situation, meaning that it's you're recording it as it's live and you're not editing it. Does that make sense to people? So you're recording it kind of as it is, and you're going to air it as it is and go with that. And it's called live to tape. And so it's treated as such, and there's not really a lot of editing. It's like the easiest thing that you can do in production. And that's kind of how they treat it. So he's sitting down. He said that this is a live to tape thing, and that it's, I don't know. I mean, I don't, I, Bret Baier is a polite host. He's polite, but that doesn't mean he's going to ask like easy questions, you know? And I think that this whole situation, this interview, I think he's going to ask her tough questions. I don't know how well she's going to perform. I don't think that he's going to let her off. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that it's going to be an easy interview for her. And so, there were people who were mad that he was going to be doing this interview. And I just feel like there's a lot of other things to be pissed off about instead of that. So, I think it'll be an interesting interview. But it's a live to tape, so it's not going to be edited. And I don't think Bret Baier, he's not a liberal. He's not a progressive. I mean, he's a conservative. He's just not he's not a super partisan. And so it's going to air tomorrow, and that's pretty much it. I'm not expecting anything from it. I don't know. And I see like people like, oh, Fox, like this DC Drano guy, who TF are you out there going, well, Fox is pre-taping the interview and editing it. They said it was live to tape. I get it that some people got to be hosed for clicks, but can we just be a little bit accurate when we're putting this stuff out there? This is one of the things that I hate about the new influencer, right? Because these people are so damn thirsty and they want a seat at the table, and they will feed you whatever BS they think is going to get an emotional reaction out of you, and they just run it. I get so aggravated about this stuff because it makes our side stupid, and it's like it mirrors the left. They're running and editing it. Wait a beat and see. Now, by all means, if it ends up being a dumb interview and he ends up softballing it, Katie, bar the door. I don't care. But I just think like in the lead up of it, it's really stupid to see some of these people say this stuff. And by the way, I've never seen some of these people like in the street. I've never seen them phone banking. I've never seen them canvassing. I've never seen them do anything except showed up at paid speaking events and get paid to speak and act like they're grassroots activists. So I don't know. Just an FYI. I'm a little jaded because I've seen some stuff. So we got this interview. I mean, she can't have walls there with her. She doesn't have the questions in advance. We'll see how it goes. But in the meantime, she's on the struggle bus. And I don't know if you guys saw what broke yesterday. Holy cow. Did you guys see this? Where she's, I mean, I'm not surprised. Between her and Biden, I don't think any of them have written like a singular thing that's, you know, an original thought. And she's accused of plagiarizing. And she's accused of like taking apparently like directly from Wikipedia. So, which is really bad. That's so stupid. Oh my gosh. So her book publisher has even tried to run for cover for her. So she's being accused. She's accused of plagiarism. Chronicle Books was her publisher. They're trying to sweep up this mess. Apparently the company sent Chris Rufo an internal communication indicating that all the inquiries about plagiarism, etc., go through the higher ups of this. And so the accusations, because it's just another one PR disaster after another, the accusation is that she's accused of just copying giant portions of her book. Is anybody surprised? I don't think so. The piece that Rufo writes, where he buries the lead 7 graphs in, let's just get right out to it in the first paragraph. The book that she had, it was like right at the beginning, right when she was like starting her, I guess, her elected career. And there was a guy who is known as like the plagiarism hunter. He looks down, he takes politicians and he looks at all the stuff that they've written, and he tries to find any instance where they have reproduced it. And so, like, for instance, he was one of the guys who found stuff on Claudine Gay. She was the president over at Harvard. He's one of the guys who found that she had lifted huge portions of her book. So anyway, with Harris, she apparently lifted in parts of her book that she published, where she was talking about high school graduation rates. And basically, it was like a chapter about the school-to-prison pipeline. And it was... she had a co-author, Joan O.C. Hamilton, and it was called Smart on Crime, A Career Prosecutor's Plan to Make Us Safer. And she lifted literal, like, whole paragraphs from, for instance, like from NBC, like whole paragraphs. I mean, there was an NBC News report that ran back in April of 2008, and she didn't quote it. It wasn't like she took a paragraph and then put it in her book and then didn't attribute it. There was no attribution, and it was just like it was her copy. And huge, giant paragraphs. She also plagiarized what is described as extensive sections from a John Jay College of Criminal Justice press release, where they looked at, I mean, they like literal, like paragraph after paragraph after paragraph. And she also literally lifted stuff from Wikipedia. Which, by the way, Wikipedia is considered such a cesspool of feces that it is not even reliable to use as evidence in the court of law. It is not allowed in court as evidence, anything from Wikipedia, because Wikipedia is horrible and it's a progressive playground. So she literally verbatim reproduced like more giant paragraphs from this. She also lifted, I want to clarify, it's not like these things are citations where she's like block quoting it. It's giant paragraphs that she's just literally not citing, and she's just passing off as her own. You see why I want to throw myself off the roof? Because she's not an intelligent person. How in the world do you, literally like paragraph after paragraph, like giant chapters that she's just literally lifted, like stolen. This is crazy. Not a peep. Have you guys heard anything about this? You haven't, have you? I noticed that it's not even trending anywhere. Can you imagine? I'm just going to say, I hate playing this stupid game, but can you imagine had Trump written a book and plagiarized like giant paragraphs? What would everybody be saying if Donald Trump had published a book and had literally reproduced giant swaths, giant paragraphs of this? Exactly. You guys know. They're met, like, this is what's trending with him right now. He swayed and bopped to music for 30 minutes in a town hall. People literally headline after headline after headline after headline. That's what they're doing. That's the big thing. Unbelievable. That's what they're... So you know they would. Not a peep about this, though. Not a single peep. Not a peep. So I don't know. I don't know how you get away with this. And they actually... Her publisher, again, accidentally sent this to Rufo, which I think is hysterical. And they said, per Lauren Huffman, VP Executive Director of Marketing and Publicity, please do not respond, comment on any inquiries regarding Smart on Crime. Please continue to forward them directly to me, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this is like bomb after bomb after bomb. So just curious. How does the media get around this? They're just not going to talk about it. That's why you're not seeing it literally anywhere. I'm not seeing it this being, just like I'm not seeing anything about Doug Emhoff hitting women anywhere. Not seeing a single damn thing about it. Oh, but here's literally when I'm looking at what's tracking on the internet. Hold up. I just saw this headline. The Kavanaugh cover up. But they won't write a damn thing about Doug Emhoff. Yep. We got a lot more to come, there's like two headlines about this. We got a lot to get into. We're going to look at some of these House and Senate races as well. Our early voting has started. Apparently, so Georgia's early voting has opened up. We're going to get into that. We got some immigration for you as well. Also everything related to the great election of November, all of that and more on the way. In today's fast-paced world, the mental load on families has become significantly heavier, particularly because everybody navigates new schedules and a lot of responsibilities. And with an increasing array of activities and work commitments and school-related tasks to manage, it can often feel like juggling is a constant act. Life360 makes it easy to keep track of everybody without the constant back and forth. It's like helicopter parenting without helicoptering. Life360 has real-time location sharing, so you can track your kids when they're driving to school or hanging out. You kind of get an update on their safety without aggravating them. You get custom alerts when they arrive or leave locations, and it can provide insights into their driving habits, your teenagers, for added safety. Plus, there's also a built-in group chat feature that simplifies coordinating schedules and plans. All of the features of Life360 are awesome and completely practical in today's world, especially the emergency contacts also. Customizing those contacts gives you peace of mind, and then you know that everyone in the family understands how to use these emergency features and can get help if they need it. Coordinate the chaos and simplify family life with Life360. Visit Life360.com or download the app today and use code Dana to get 1 month of the gold package for free. That's Life360.com, code Dana.
Who is the Department of Homeland Security supposed to help? Mayorkas is saying FEMA's running out of money. But this past year, we spent $24 billion in Ukraine, $11 billion in Israel, and billions more to smaller nations. Who are their real priorities?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the more content you consume, the worse mental health gets, according to a new study. That's out. I believe it. it's like doom scrolling because people are constantly like comparing themselves to everything else. They said that there was a comprehensive study on social media or on media consumption period, and they revealed that excessive content consumption can result in feelings of guilt. And the average respondent, well, then stop it. The average respondent says that they have three pangs of guilt. What is a pang? They have three pangs of guilt a month. And they said on average, Americans consume about 6 hours of content per day. And they said in World Mental Health Day, that's what, oh my gosh. But just, you know, I think a lot of it is because social media is so curated. It really is. And everybody only sees like the best of what somebody, just stop it. Just stop. And honestly, everybody just needs to stop pretending to be perfect on social media, really. DC hotels are nearly sold out for the inauguration even before election day. So here's my question. Like, if it's a bunch of Democrats and then the Democrat loses, so then what's the recourse, right? Like, do they all just like become available? I'm curious. But they said that all the hotels are sold out for the inauguration already, even before election day. Interesting. So good luck if you're thinking that you want to go and stand in the crowd. It's not going to happen. This is crazy. A woman was decapitated. She jumped to her death in front of horrified wedding guests in Manhattan. Oh my gosh. They said that this elderly woman fell to her death from a Manhattan skyrise in front of horrified wedding guests. And as her body hit the side of the building on the way down, it knocked her head off. She was 81 years old. This is like a horrific story. Jeez. Yeah, she fell and hit the side of the building and took her head off as she hit this. It was the Regis Apartments in Upper East Side. It was Saturday around 3:30. And they said she got caught on the railings and balconies on the side of the building and it just like knocked her head right off. The head and the arm. And they literally ended up on the terrace of another apartment while the rest of the body fell down. That's just absolutely horrifying. Oh my gosh. That's like a horror movie death. NASA plans to blast planet killer asteroids with 1,000 strong army of spacecraft or even a nuke. Stop. Let it hit us. Like, we can all go into the bunker and all the people that are like voting for Marxists, they can stay out on the Earth's surface and get pummeled. I'm fine with that. They said that it's a race against time. They're trying to stop dinosaur killing asteroids from wiping out Earth by unleashing a 1,000 spacecraft or even a nuke as a way to do it. Or you could just like call Bruce Willis. You know, Bruce Willis went and handled all this before already, right? Stick with us. We got a lot more on the way. New partners to the program. We've talked about them before. Burnagun. It's a great option to have if you want more options for self-defense, especially if you're going in an area where they have magical gun-free zone signs that empower criminals and just put victims at a disadvantage. The Burna, if you're unfamiliar with it, it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats like 50 feet away. When you compare it to a stun gun, you got one or two shots. With a stun gun, you got five rounds with the Burna. And the Burna SD is the most popular model. That's the one that most people seem to be buying. I've got a couple friends that have purchased them. One lives in D.C. One lives in literally in Manhattan. And they work in law and in media. So they got to be able to have a way to protect themselves. Because even though they have their licenses to carry in those states, you can't carry hardly anywhere. And the cool thing with Burna Gun is it doesn't give a rat's backside about your gun-free zone signs. And it's legal in all 50 states. No background check. It can be shipped right to your door. So there's no question. To learn more about the Burna Gun, B-Y-R-N-A, visit Burna.com/Dana for 10% off your purchase. That's Burna.com/Dana for 10% off.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this first hour. I'm trying to figure out what answer Harry Walls, which is what we're calling them, what answer they have for the economy. Audio send by three. Listen to this. This is Tim Walls. He was asked, well, what would, you know, your administration do differently?
Voters are worried about the economy, prices at the grocery store, the gas pumps. They've risen under the Biden-Harris administration. What would you do differently if elected?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, we're seeing inflation start to cool some. We're seeing proposals put forward, whether it's price gouging. Look, Donald Trump's disastrous handling of COVID left a bit of a mess, but we're focusing on it.
The disastrous handling of COVID. Everybody messed up COVID. Everybody. There's like very few people who got it right, number one. Democrats wanted to keep us locked down longer, number two. Number three, what the hell does this have to do with what you would do differently? Why is it that whenever someone's asked, well, what would you do different? Or, you know, what is your answer on this particular thing? Or how would you handle this? Their answer is always, well, Trump did. I'm so tired of your, we know what you think about Trump. We know that you hate him. We know that you have a fetish, that you get off on hating him. I understand that, that this is how the left views it. They are so obsessed with it. They can think of nothing else. They can't even serve the people to which they were elected to office to represent. I get it. You guys are just absolutely obsessed. Can you just give an answer beyond that? Or are you absolutely incapable? I mean, the rest of us kind of would like to have like one idea of what you think that you would do as an alternative, but they don't have anything. They don't have anything. They haven't had anything in forever. Well, you know, his handling of the of COVID left it a mess. What does that have to do with what you would do differently? Are you saying that you would have done opposite what he did? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what the correct answer is here. Every time you ask anybody in this administration or this nominee, the Democrat nominee, what they would do differently, anytime that you ask, the question is always, well, what is your policy? What would you do economically? Then the answer is always, but Trump, but Trump, but Trump, every single time, every time, but Trump. Audio soundbite 6. Harris, again, remember, also not only did she plagiarize her book, but she also plagiarized her plan for the umpteenth millionth time. She, this subject, she's apparently was trying to address her opponent's plan. Listen.
You guys watch the debate. Right. He has, quote, concepts of a plan.
Well, he was also in office, so we have that.
And he published his plan.
Yeah, and he did publish. I mean, he did publish it. That's I don't get what she's, you know. Again, you copied from Joe Biden's website, and it kept all of the actual source code in it, so we can easily tell that you did it. All you got to do is like right click, and you can tell. I just don't know what they think that they're getting. So now. You know it's desperate. She was talking about going on Joe Rogan's show. And then, well, I don't know. They're floating it like she may sit down for it. I don't know whatever that means. And so they focused on trying to shame women into voting for Harry Walz and black men into voting for Harry Walz and men in general into voting for Harry Walz. And then you have audio soundbite 20. Their spokesperson refused to say whether or not the campaign agrees with Barack Obama, who was trying to shame black men by saying that they were sexist, and that's really ultimately the thing that is preventing them from supporting Kamala Harris. It couldn't be because, you know, black men could just, maybe they just don't want someone who is completely unaccomplished and they don't think that she can do the job. Audio soundbite 20, listen.
Does the campaign agree with what former President Obama suggested, that black men may be reluctant to vote for Harris because she's a woman? He thinks that's part of the struggle.
Listen, I think what President Obama was talking about, again, was the stark choice, right? You have Donald Trump, who as a candidate,
he definitely
was
talking about a stark choice, but very clearly he was suggesting, Michael, that he said, I have the soundbite right here. He says, part of it makes me think that, well, you aren't feeling the idea of having a woman as president, so you're thinking about sitting out or even supporting somebody who has a history of denigrating you because you think a sign of strength, because that's what being a man is, putting women down, that's not acceptable. It's very clear that he's suggesting that sexism is at play for why some black men, he's concerned, aren't going to turn out.
Yeah, and he was also very clear that there's one candidate in this race who actually has the interests of black men at heart, and that's Vice President Harris. He's also equally clear.
So do you agree that
sexism
black men is at play,
who are capable
like Obama suggested?
Of exercising our power to decide the fate of this election? Black men are going to do that, and they're going to do it on behalf of the vice president, because this campaign is going to make sure that black men understand the stakes. They're going to make sure this campaign is going to make sure the black men understand that there is a candidate.
Obama kind of put him in a bind a little bit. You have Clinton and Obama that kind of messed it up for Harry Walz. I mean, they did. Think about it. I mean, you have Barack Obama, who was out there, I mean, playing the race card and the sex card, saying that black guys are sexist pigs because they're not voting for Kamala Harris. Because, as you know, I mean, apparently, whatever ethnicity you are, you can only vote for that person that has your shared ethnicity. I don't know. And then you had Bill Clinton out there throwing a wrench in it all by saying that the that maybe, you know, they should vet people coming across the border a little bit more carefully so we don't have repeat violent offenders that are coming across killing people. I mean, both of them, I think, kind of messed it up for her because now they've got these both of these two issues to deal with. I don't know. Well, it's kind of... I want to change it up because there's a Bigfoot apparently in Kentucky. Did you guys hear about this? What? Chilling video captures Bigfoot noises. That literally could be like your, you know, your Uncle Leroy out there in the bush, out there in the brush making weird noises. A Bigfoot investigator, I love that these exist, has shared incredible new audio of what he believes are sounds made by the mysterious beast as it roams the woods in Kentucky. For over three decades, Charlie Raymond, of course he's a Florida native, has meticulously documented nearly 700 sightings of the elusive creatures in his new home state of Kentucky. He has established the Kentucky Bigfoot Research Organization after college, and the calls have flooded in ever since. So he's been out there and he's been looking. He said in one clip, a loud whooping sound can be heard. Whooping. And he says it's identical to the recordings captured by another dude in the Sierra Nevada mountains. He said it's an exact match and it is not human. These whoops are almost 50 years apart and over 4,000 miles away. Did you hear that, Kane? Them whoops are 50 years apart and over 4,000 miles away. And he said that because they're called differently, like the Bigfoot. We need like a AP style book entry on this. Like, because it's moose is singular plural. You don't say mooses and you don't say meese. I am just curious what the Bigfoot thing is. But he says, I want to believe that Bigfoot exists because that would explain the behavior of a lot of people. But also because I love the idea of there being a giant creature that exists out in the wilderness that hates people so bad that you can't get it, you can't capture it, you can't find it, and it's able to elude all sightings. I mean, think of it. Everybody's got a phone, everybody's got a video camera, and there's not literally one credible recording of this thing. I love the idea that it's real, and it hates people so bad and is so good at eluding stupid humans that no one's been able to catch it. There's something that I admire about that. Teach me your ways. And they said that they can do whistles, hand claps, tree knocks, all this stuff. And I think it's hysterical. They feel like they think that they've deciphered it. Like if they hear a knock out in the woods, then that's like a home knock. That's like one of them knocking to the other one. I probably think they could verbalize, you know. They've got like mouths and throats and voice boxes and that. I just, you know, feel like they could do that. But in Kentucky, though? You think it's in Kentucky?
Why not?
I mean, I think that it's probably like in Washington State or something up there, like in the Sierra Nevada, something like that, up in the Northwest. Because isn't that where it's supposed to be? But it could probably be in Kentucky. I wouldn't doubt it. There's lots of caves and hills up there.
It might be one migrating south for the retirement.
Maybe it got aggravated because too many pot-smoking hippie hikers were getting all up in its business. And so it decided to come to Kentucky. Maybe it decided to do that. That's a possibility. I don't know. I love that. I love the idea of one. My cousins and I, we used to go out in the woods when we were kids. Back when you could, we'd take BB guns. And we'd like, our parents had no idea where we were. It's like amazing that the stuff that if you were a kid, like in the 80s and 90s, the stuff that you could do compared to kids now, right? Like, we did everything. Like, we went out and we were gone all day long. It's wild. But we were all out in the woods. I never saw nothing. I mean, I would see, like, scraggly coyotes and all that, but I never saw really a Bigfoot, per se. Never really saw anything like that. Always wanted to, but never did. Anyway, if it's in Kentucky, make sure it's registered to vote. Like, go out and get it. Find its little herd of other Bigfoots. Bigfoot. Foots. Feets. Feeties. I don't know. And make sure they're all registered to vote. If Bigfoot could vote, I think I know how Bigfoot would vote. Because Bigfoot wants to be left alone. And I think I know how it would vote. Just saying. So they, it's just audio recordings. You know what? I don't believe the audio recordings. It could be just this guy in the woods doing this stuff. And then he's like, guys, look, I got Bigfoot on audio. I could do that. Kane, I could go out in my backyard and do that. Sure. And be like, oh, Kane, I got audio of Bigfoot. It exists. Listen to him. He's home knocking to his sweetie. No, I don't think so. I don't think the same thing. It's not the same thing. Anyway, I hope it does exist. Really do. So coming up, you guys remember poor Jack Phillips, the baker in Colorado. Apparently he's the only baker who exists in Colorado. And how long have people been suing him? Over 10 years, at least. Some of it's been the same person suing him repeatedly. So finally, the Colorado Supreme Court just tossed a suit against him because someone else was demanding that he make a cake. You know, give us the cakes. So we're going to talk about that.
Hi, I'm Lillian, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
America's founders believed in a separation of church and state, in that the country was not to have an official religion or an official sect. But that did not mean that government was to be hostile to religion, or even indifferent to religion, as many today argue. In fact, America's founding document, the Declaration of Independence, includes both a reference to God as the author of the laws of nature and a confident assertion that human beings are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Far from being hostile or indifferent to religion, America's founders understood the theology of the Declaration to be an essential part of the education of citizens.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
This Constitution Minute was furnished by Hillsdale College.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
We might think we knew the results of elections a lot sooner in previous elections. We really didn't. It was just the margins were so large that we were able to call the elections earlier. It always takes a long time to count ballots. We're going to see that again, and margins are likely to be tight, so we might need to wait a few days in states like Georgia and elsewhere.
And David, I really don't think we can emphasize enough the way in which each state has different rules for counting, and the result can be somewhat suspicious looking on the surface processes with the count, right? It's not just one. If you got a jar of jelly beans, it's not like one red, one blue, one red, one blue. Sometimes handfuls of results come in at one time, a handful of other results at another time. Could you just talk generally about how we should see the count unfold at that state level?
Right. So we have to remember, and you mentioned this earlier, we were
just pretending that they're stupid. Guys, this is how counting works. Expect it. Counting is really hard. Sometimes the votes come in. I mean, all at once, Kane. It's crazy. They just come in all at one time.
It could take days. It's how it goes.
Take a millennia. It's like counting jelly beans. Can you ever count all the jelly beans? I mean, my gosh, you know what? Just count the votes. This is not difficult. You get a vote in, you count it. So easy.
And how often does it come in giant swaths of just one party? Like, late night?
This is normal, guys. Yeah, yes, we know. And the polls are just closing 60 seconds, but there's 100,000 votes that just came in here for Democrats. It's crazy. I'm going to call shenanigans.
Yeah, me too.
I couldn't be a precinct worker. I am not nice. I just don't. I'm not saying anything you don't know. I don't have the patience for this. Like, God love the people who do, right? Who sit there and they see this stupid stuff going on. And they don't just, like, backhand you. I feel like they should be able, like, of all the people, like the poll workers, especially when they see shenanigans, I feel like of all the people who should get a pass with backhanding somebody, it should be them on election day. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I feel like they deserve it. But it's not hard to count. Well, guys, it actually is really hard to count. Here's why. Because all of a sudden you get 25,000 Democrat votes that come in, like, right before the polls close. It's crazy. It sometimes happens. They all go at once. You guys know Democrats like to vote all at once and very late. If we do not know the election results election night, God help all of us tomorrow when I'm going to destroy this whole studio. I'm just going to lose my mind. I am going to throw things and break everything. We cannot do this again. Can't do it again.
But giant dumps of one party voting.
I'll show them giant dumps.
This is professional lady radio. You should not be saying that.
Still, I will. You know why? Because it's almost November. We're in that crazy season, so I get a pass. That's what it is. They all get, you all get passes too. It's not difficult. Well, it is. Kamala Harris, she's struggling with black voters. So she's just, now she's like, what about money and weed? Right? That's pretty much what it is. I don't know. So they've been really getting into this, the identity politics. And so now they're trying to, because they're actually doing horrible with black voters right now. They're not doing very well with black voters at all. And it's, money, crypto, and weed. It sounds like a song. Really? It does. Yeah. Yeah, it does. So they've been hemorrhaging black voters for some time. And it's now they're really feeling the effect on it. So they've came up with this Harry Walz policy. She tweeted this. Let me pull this up. She actually tweeted this yesterday. Black men deserve a president who cares about making their lives better. So she wants to provide, race-based loans, yep. Which is
not legal
at all. But, you know, it's different. Support, blah, 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 mentorship, protect cryptocurrency investments. So black men who make them know their money is safe. What kind of sentence is that? This is so weird. So and then weed. Don't forget weed.
That's right.
We're going to talk about this coming up, our second hour, because I feel like half of this is illegal. Stick with us. More to come. If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours or only have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is that Relief Factor makes that easy. Their 3-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. It's a unique formula of ingredients that help support your body's response to inflammation. And Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free, and for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. Chris, my husband, raves about Relief Factor. So whether you're a cyclist, a hiker, you know, an athlete from your college days or high school, maybe you're just active now, Relief Factor supports inflammation reduction and joint health. Try it today. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See in how just a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. And then you feel better, and then life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor. So the Democrat nominee Kamala Harris is struggling very much so with black voters, and in her attempt to rectify this situation, instead of proposing good policy, she's trying to literally pay people off and then also weed. Welcome to the program. Dana Lesh with you, top of the second hour. Channel 347 DirecTV is the simulcast of the radio program. The chat happens at Rumble. We're also on X. The plan, I'm pulling this up, that she had put out there, this was something last night, because they were really, really struggling. It's the Kamala Harris, it's the Harry Walz policy. They want to provide 1 million loans that are fully forgivable, up to $20,000, only for black entrepreneurs to start businesses. So it's a race-based payoff, which is not constitutional, and this is going to be just completely shot down by a court, but that's a whole other thing. They've also said protect cryptocurrency, so black men who make them know their money is safe. I cannot even believe that this is a real sentence that is, like, she tweeted this. And legalize recreational marijuana and create opportunities for black Americans to succeed in this new industry. Well, it's not a new industry. And also, what? I mean, this is just so lame, but this is what they're, I mean, you're bribing voters and you're literally implementing discrimination in terms of business loans. If this was something that she actually thought needed to be done, she would have done it, I don't know, years ago when she first got into office as vice president. Or maybe she would have done it when she was senator. I'm just, you know, curious. You can't do race-based loans like this. That's not going to make then it's not going to make a black man want to vote for you more. Well, look, here's, we're just going to do race-based loans and also weed. By the way, she jailed almost 2,000 people over marijuana offenses when she was DA. I mean, a lot. She jailed a ton of people. And now she wants to pretend that she hasn't done any of this. I mean, it was about 2,000. It was almost 2,000. And it was a pretty high figure. They said that the statistics from the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation alone said that 1,560 people, just between 2011 and 2016, 1,560 were sent to state prisons for marijuana offenses during the time that she was AG. And then there were others, over 1,000 others that were admitted for other marijuana convictions during that period. So it was almost 2,000. Now, what's interesting is that the California Department of Corrections used to publish, they used to have all of this stuff on their website, and there's screenshots of it. And I think you can even see it in the Wayback Machine, but they've deleted that. It's kind of interesting. They deleted it from their website. Okay. Yeah. All right. California Department of Corrections just deleted it. Okay. Sure. So the, I don't know, it's pretty stark difference there. I don't know why she thinks that's going to help. That's just absolute pandering. That's desperate pandering. But it shows you that their campaign is desperate. And I think that they're going to continue to tank. I think it's going to get, I think she's going to slip further and further as we get closer to election day, which is why she desperately needs a debate. She needs a debate. She needs it to happen. But I don't think that that's, I don't think it's going to work. I don't think that's going to help either. I really don't think it's just going to be one debate that that's, and that does it for. They're so wrong on so many things. I just don't think that you can rectify that. And people have already made up their minds about her. And she's not really getting a lot of help. I think Jill Biden she's been to a couple of fundraisers for her, but she's not getting a lot of help from the Bidens. And this, and Obama coming out there, that's such a lame, I mean, to sit here and say that it has to do with sexism and that's why black men aren't voting for her, as though she is completely accomplished and she is the better candidate, but the only reason that they're not voting for her is because she's a woman. That is sexist. That's a sexist argument to make, to refuse to understand the legitimate criticisms that someone has about the lack of accomplishments or record from the nominee, and to brush it all off in your view because it's sexism, is you yourself demonstrating inherent sexism, because you're assuming that because they are men that they can't vote, they can't support her because she is a woman. That is sexism itself. I mean, they compromise themselves with these stupid arguments. And he goes out there like he is the king of all black men and tries to shame people into voting for her. That's like what happened with the feminists, with Hillary Clinton. You'd have these old broads out there acting like they're the queen of all women. You've got to vote for Hillary Clinton because she's a woman. No, actually, we don't. We don't have to do that. That makes me not want to vote for someone when they make that appeal. It makes me want to oppose you, because if that's all you have to offer, well, then there's a lot of other people who can say they're women and you can't even define them, but they can say that they're women. And no, we need accomplishments. We need like actual records of achievement. But that they miss that point. I don't know. The whole thing is frustrating, but this is what they're, it might work with some, but I don't think it's going to work with enough because people are disillusioned. They're done with voting. What is voting for Democrat for generations? What has it gotten voters? They don't have anything to show for it. They've got higher taxes, inflation, and an unaffordable way of life. That's all they have to show for it. They don't have anything else to show. So there was a couple of things. Did you hear? This was in, let me pull the story up. An Aurora apartment worker was beaten up by one of the Venezuelan gangs. I don't know if you guys saw this. This is New York Post had this piece. It was an Aurora apartment worker who was beaten to a pulp by one of the gangs that Martha Raddatz was saying, well, it's, you know, they only took over a couple of apartment complexes. They beat this guy, beat him to a pulp. He's a landlord in Denver, and he shared a photo of one of his workers because the guy was beaten up by this Venezuelan prison gang because they were squatting in a vacant apartment and he was trying to get them out, and so they beat him up. They said that the gang has stolen the entire apartment complex out from underneath them. They have threatened their employees. They've tried to extort their employees. They've done all of this, and they want to keep operating in these properties. They said that they took several, the company wrote on X, quote, gangs have taken control of several of our properties in Aurora, Colorado. And they said that in an attempt to discredit this fact for political purposes and avoid governmental accountability, some have spread false information about our situation. And the company said that they've got multiple surveillance videos. They have all kinds of video footage. They also have a beating of the employee late last year. They said that they have absolute indisputable proof that the gang has a foothold in Aurora. They said that they've had to pull their workers back from their apartment complexes. They can't even go into some of these apartment complexes because the Venezuelan gang owns them. And remember when Raddatz was talking to J.D. Vance and she was like, well, you know, there's only a few of these. Like, she acted like the story was somehow less credible because it was a few apartment workers or a few apartment buildings that were taken over, as though there's an acceptable number of apartment buildings for Venezuelan gangs to take over before people get upset about Venezuelan gangs who are here illegally taking over entire apartment complexes. Is there a number? Like, if it's one, are you not supposed to get upset about it? If it's two, three, four, like, what is the number? That's insane that she, and I liked Vance's response to her, but they can't even get, the other thing is this, they can't even get their workers out there to keep up the, like, maintenance for the apartment complex against code violations. So they can't even get there. The city's not doing anything about it. And so the mayor, he gets mad because the city won't do anything about the gangs that are in these apartment complexes. And the gangs that are in the apartment complexes obviously are not taking care of their property. And they have, you know, like junker cars out and they have trash everywhere. And so then they get cited by the city. And then the mayor is now at war with the landlords because the landlords can't get in there and do anything. And the city's not taking care of the illegal Venezuelan gangs that have taken over. I mean, the city, the government creates the problem. They make a victim one time out of the property owner. Then they make them victims a second time because now the city is preying on them saying, oh, well, these are violations. And the company's like, look, the violations were the gangs have taken over and have trashed the place. We are not going to risk the lives of these staff to be there. This is not safe for them. And the city's like, well, you got to clean up your property. And they're like, you need to get rid of the Venezuelan gangs. We can't clean up the property because of the Venezuelan gangs. This is like a Monty Python skit. It's crazy. And everybody's been playing it down. Democrats have been ignoring this. They play it down. They're like, it's not a big deal. They try to act like, no, there's not. There's only a couple buildings, only a couple. Like it's actually way more than a couple. But even if it were just a couple, is that acceptable?
It's mostly peaceful.
Yeah, it's a mostly peaceful gang takeover. It's just this asset. Colorado's a weird place. We're going to have more on this coming up. Speaking of Colorado, so their Supreme Court surprisingly threw out a lawsuit against Jack Phillips. You guys remember this baker who has been sued for the better part of on and off for 15 years? I've talked to Jack Phillips before. He's been on air with us before. He was sued by this attorney who is a dude who's pretending to be a woman. And this attorney, Autumn Scardina, who is a dude, first filed suit in 2017 because this guy was looking around. Jack Phillips is a Christian baker. And he views, you know, his business as his ministry, and he should be able to make whatever cake he wants, however he wants to. Well, this dude was like looking around for people. This was back like, gosh, this was even after the first suit that was brought against him, because they've been suing him for like on and off for quite some time, as I said, because there were people who heard that he was Christian and they wanted to make an example out of him, bake the cake, you know, all of that came from Jack Phillips. And so they would target him. They would demand that he would make cakes. And he's very upfront about it. In fact, I've had him on air with me. And I asked him point blank one time, would you make me a Halloween cake? And he's a devout Christian. He was like, no, because he doesn't do divorce cakes, Halloween cakes, trans, LGBT. He doesn't do any of that. And I'm like, just to be clear, you would not make me a Halloween cake. And he goes, no, because he doesn't celebrate Halloween or observe it. I don't even celebrate it. I think observe is the best word. So he was like, no, I don't do that. And that this suit against him would be the equivalent of me suing him because I felt offended that he wouldn't make me a Halloween cake, right? So this dude, Autumn Scardina, tried to sue him back in 2017 because the guy wanted like a trans cake and wanted to force Jack Phillips to make it. And it's been, I mean, they have dragged him through the courts. They've had Alliance for Defending Freedom that have represented him this entire time. And the Colorado Supreme Court finally made the determination that this trans dude who is engaging in lawfare against Jack Phillips, they concluded that Scardina did not exhaust all possible avenues for relief before suing Phillips. And the crazy thing is that Phillips always gives out, he would give out a referral. And there were other bakers that said that they would have done it. Some that even said that they would have made it for Scardina for free. But Scardina's point was that he wanted to persecute a Christian baker because he's an anti-Christian bigot. And so finally, the Supreme Court has tossed it out. And I mean, this is like the second or third time. I think it's like the third time that Scardina has tried to sue him. And Phillips owns the Masterpiece Cake Shop. Very nice guy, you know. But he's very clear in what he will do and what he won't do. And these activists think that they could just force him to provide for them labor. They wanted to commandeer his physical labor and expression to suit their purposes. Just because you start a business doesn't mean that you forfeit your right to free speech and free association. But that's what Scardina wanted to have happen. She wanted indentured servitude. He wanted indentured servitude. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It's Black Rifle Coffee. See, I don't need a robot making my coffee. I don't need a robot doing any of that stuff. I just need good coffee. Clearly, I've had a lot today. I've had maybe one more cup than I normally do. I had the Silencer Smooth today. By the way, that I believe is part of the. It is. It's part of the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. So if you love coffee, you can get their sampler kit. It's a lineup of their classic Black Rifle Coffee Company blends. So you get 4-ounce bags of like all my favorites, AK-47 Espresso, the Beyond Black, the Just Black, the Silencer Smooth, which I had a lot of today. Every flavor is amazing. It comes in this cool blue box. It's a great gift for people who like coffee. Now it's available exclusively in ground texture. You can get all of these blends in a whole bean K-cup ready to drink, like pretty much like whichever medium you would like. And you can join the coffee club. You choose your roast, your frequency of shipment, and it shows up to your front porch with free shipping. So you're saving money, you're saving time, and you're never going to run out of coffee. It is a veteran-owned coffee company. They employ veterans in active duty. And they're all about giving props to American culture and our military as well. You need to experience outstanding flavor and aroma at blackriflecoffee.com. Order yourself the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. Get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off. Code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This headline, I'm dying. Bath & Body Works apologizes for selling candles that looked like Ku Klux Klan hoods. Bath & Body Works has stopped selling a candle that was emblazoned with a winter theme because everyone sees hoods everywhere. The candle's label was called Snowed In, and it was a snowflake. It was a paper snowflake. But people said that it looked like the hoods of Klan's members, and everyone was very upset, and Bath & Body Works had to pull it. They said that it was unintentional, and they said at Bath & Body Works, we are committed to listening to our... Oh, my gosh. So somebody's already trying to sell it on eBay for $350. Oh my gosh, I can't. Oh, let's see. Well, this guy told police it was definitely not a bag full of drugs. Narrator, actually, the bag was definitely filled with drugs. This was suspects driving a stolen car. Oregon police pulled the car over. They found a large drug stash inside of a bag, literally labeled with definitely not a bag full of drugs. That's literally what it was said on the side of the bag. And guess what? It was full of multiple packages of drugs, lots of drugs, meth, lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of meth. The people were charged with an assortment of felony counts, including all the meth. That's one way. I would definitely, if I was a cop, be looking at the bag that says definitely not a bag of drugs. I totally would. Yeah. A new secret tomb found in the ancient city of Petra has contained the remains of at least 12 humans in a Holy Grail cup. It's literally like Indiana Jones. That was like the old building carved in the side of a mountain in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. So they found all these skeletons, and they found this like clay looking like ceramic chalice, kind of looked holy grailish. Just saying, don't drink out of it. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Tax Network USA wants to help you with the government's extortion racket, otherwise known as the IRS, because they have 88,000 new agents funded by us taxpayers, and you don't want to miss today's deadline. Schedule a complimentary consultation. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana. Tax Network USA has a proven track record of saving clients over $1 billion in back taxes, and they have skilled professionals that are dedicated to securing the best resolution for your tax issue, making sure that you get the most favorable outcome. Whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, regardless if it's for personal or business, they've got the tools and experience to handle any situation, whether you're able to pay or on a fixed income. Tax Network USA provides tailored solutions to help you resolve your tax burdens effectively. Don't miss the October 15th deadline. Visit tnusa.com/Dana or call 1-800-958-1000 for a free consultation. They'll guide you through a few simple questions to determine how much you can save. That's tnusa.com/Dana or call 1-800-958-1000.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, all kinds of good stuff over there. Talking about the Kamala Harris plan, they're very desperate to try to save their campaign. I was looking at just some of the latest, and I sent this out to you. If you get the newsletter, you have some of the latest polling on that, particularly Wisconsin, which is they're not doing very well in Wisconsin. They're not doing very well in Pennsylvania, which we talked about yesterday. And they're struggling nationally. NBC has a survey where it showed them within a dead heat. A New York Times Siena poll had the same. And the media blitz didn't help. It's not helping, the media blitz that they're doing. It's actually really bad. It's not helping at all. Oh my gosh. You would think that they would stop. The NBC poll had measured it right when they began their media blitz. And it had, so last month it was 49-44 Harris. Now it's 48-48. There's a 3.1% margin of error, and they did 1,000 registered voters. So it's a pretty legit survey. Her media blitz has resulted in a 5-point swing to Trump. That's how bad it is. Normally, doing that would help a candidate. I've never seen a candidate where it actually did the opposite for them. Well, I mean, Harris and Walls. I mean, 5 points in a month. And these are 1,000 registered voters. The same survey. So they did this. They did the survey before. The same survey had them at, had her plus, like, over margin of error. So really, if you wanted to incorporate that in, like, at least plus two over Trump. 5-point difference in 1 month. And it's getting worse. The media is just refusing outright to cover some of this stuff for her. They have not covered the Doug Emhoff thing where a woman is accusing him of slapping her. The sexual harassment stuff coming from some of the people at his business. There's not anything about the plagiarism with her book. Nothing about that. And it's just bad. They're not covering some of this other stuff that would factor into people making a decision. Have early voting starting today in Georgia. Pennsylvania, Trump is up 50-47 registered voters. And again, I said this in the newsletter that I sent out to subscribers this morning. I don't know how you look at Kamala Harris's performance poll-wise in Pennsylvania right now and not think that it was a catastrophic mistake to bypass Josh Shapiro as VP. And I was thinking last night, well, what were the objections to him? as VP? Was it because they were afraid he was going to show her up? Because that is one of the more legitimate objections that I've heard that have kind of circulated amongst the left, that he would have showed her up. And it would have been a pretty stark contrast, which maybe could have hurt her more. But overall, I think he would have been not a drag on the ticket the way Waltz is. Waltz is an absolute dud. He is a total drag on the ticket. That's where I believe that she actually did kind of maybe make the decision on that, make the call on having him on that ticket. Because with Shapiro would have been an asset for her. But I think it also, his presence on the ticket as VP would have maybe brought people to think, well, if they can just replace Biden with Harris without any kind of formality, why couldn't they have just used Josh Shapiro instead of Harris? And that would have maybe made a compelling case. But remember, it was James Clyburn. All of this is because of James Clyburn. This is what gets me. James Clyburn made this deal with Biden. And I'm not like speculating this. This is literally what they publicly discussed, because Joe Biden was just, he was not going to make it in South Carolina. He was coming in, I think, second or third in South Carolina after he already lost a couple of the other primaries and caucuses in 2020. And so Clyburn cut a deal with him, and he brought the vote. He brought black voters and he brought leftist voters. He brought the vote and had Joe Biden win that primary. Joe Biden was back in the game again, and Clyburn essentially won him the nomination. But the deal that was cut, and you remember at the time Biden was saying this in his addresses, was that he would pick a woman of color as his VP. That was like the thing that he had promised. So the reason they ended up getting Kamala Harris is because of that deal. So you ended up getting the most unpopular Democrat in the party, and she legit is the most unpopular candidate in the party. You got the most unpopular candidate in the party who is selected as the VP, and now she's the nominee because she was in that position in the first place. And the whole reason that she was in that position was because it was about a racial agreement in terms of bringing votes for Biden, and now they can't bring those votes for Harris. It's complete irony. So the whole reason that she was added onto the ticket was so that Clyburn wanted to lock in this particular demographic, and now that demographic, Democrats are hemorrhaging them, and they can't deliver. And so then they send, well, I guess I'll have to send Barack Obama out there to shame people. That didn't work. It's not working. Clyburn was out there saying, well, black men want to know, what can I expect from a Harris administration? I think everybody is wanting to know that. And it just doesn't have to do with black male voters. She's hurting with men, and doesn't have anything to do with sexism. Men are going to tolerate less an unaccomplished female. I don't know. Sometimes I think women will tolerate an unaccomplished female, unless they're on the left, and then they're shamed into thinking that you're duty bound in voting for them because you have matching private parts. But men, they're not bound by any kind of, you know, magical situational rules governing this, you know, sisterhood. They're not bound by this, and they just see someone that's unaccomplished. Why should they be prevailed upon to support that? It's not going to benefit them. So I just find it incredibly ironic that she's struggling so much with that demo, because that was literally why she was there. She was there to assure it, and now she can't even bring it for herself. It's pretty unbelievable. I mean, it's the worst. I was reading this piece over at Real Clear Politics. Her margin amongst black voters has been the worst for a Democrat since 1960. It's really rough. Very, very rough. So, interesting though. So we're going to continue watching all of that. Now, did you guys hear about this New York Times story? You would think that this would be, in any other realm, this would be a huge week for media bias, because you had CBS in the past 7 days deceptively edit an interview with Kamala Harris wherein they doctored her answer when she was asked about foreign policy. Then when an anchor asked a question about Ta-Nehisi Coates' book that omitted a bunch of facts. That anchor was punished. And then the New York Times, they ignored plagiarism about Kamala Harris. They're ignoring that. And they're trying to accuse anyone who brings it up as somehow it's, you know, racist. I mean, she literally, like, there's another example of her plagiarizing a whole thing about Megan's Law. Well, now there's this story about the New York Times. They had a guest essay, and there's a lot of questions about this guest essay because they are being accused. This had to do when they published these x-rays. They were saying that they had an opinion essay of 65 doctors, nurses, and paramedics called What We Saw in Gaza. And they published these x-rays claiming that the IDF was targeting Gazan kids. And it was published over the weekend. And now there's a lot of questions about it because it looks like it was entirely fake. Like they used like fake x-ray images that they were saying were 5.56, you know, rounds inside of the heads of kids. And that's not, it's really wild. There was no exit wounds, no skull fractures, no anything. People were saying that the x-ray, like actual medical professionals, were coming out and saying, this does not look right. These x-rays do not look correct. They don't look accurate. And they had extensive examinations of the images. And they had all kinds of like forensic examinations of this. And they were trying to say that they basically made this up. This wouldn't be the first time that you would have Pollywood, you know, that Gaza would make up entire stories and fabricate evidence for something like this. And so the person who wrote the piece, who said that, actually wrote, everyone who seriously investigates these, you know, this piece is finding Hamas does not utilize human shields. And that was like one of the things that they wrote in defense of their piece. This is crazy. And so they are now, the New York Times is getting raked over the coals from this because they're accused of making up a story so as to mischaracterize and claim falsely that the IDF was involved in war crimes. I mean, the x-rays look sus anyway. This is not the first time that something in the past year has come out of Gaza that's been entirely fake. And, you know, of course, the guy who wrote it, he's like a Hamas sympathizer. So this is, I mean, it's wild. This is the New York Times that did this. They didn't verify any of the information. The New York, before running this, they didn't verify it. They didn't really even examine the information at all whatsoever. And so now there are a lot of medical professionals that are getting involved and saying, okay, first off, this isn't accurate and this is why this isn't accurate. This is compared to an actual individual that was, you know, shot with the same round. This is what the x-ray should look like, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's wild. And this author has written like crazy stuff about the IDF before, et cetera, et cetera. But the problem, again, the big thing is that the New York Times ran this. They didn't vet it. They didn't. I mean, you would think that if you would have this, that you would run it by maybe independent medical personnel, like independent doctors and independent forensic experts before you would run it. And they didn't do that. And they're trying to say their defense is, well, it's an opinion essay. But you ran it like a feature. You didn't run it like an opinion essay. You ran it like it was a feature. You published literal fake news to falsely accuse someone of war crimes. I can't believe this isn't a bigger story either. Some of the worst and most frequent actions involving media bias has taken place just in the past month. And there's hardly anything that's being said or written about it. And people wonder why nobody likes the media. They wonder why people are instantly distrustful of anybody in the media. It's because of stuff like this. Good grief. We have more on the way. We've got Florida Man coming up. ReadyWise is always ready, even if you're not. And it's more important than ever to make sure that you're always prepared. I mean, we've seen hurricanes and devastation and all kinds of stuff. At ReadyWise.com, you can use promo code Dana20 at checkout and get 20% off your entire purchase. They have a 72-hour food kit. Buy one, get $100 value for $50. Two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, entrees, breakfast, drinks. And you get the best taste. And you know that you're getting American ingredients packed in an American plant sent out to your house. And you know the chain of command. And you know that it's good stuff. What you're getting, you can count on. 25-year shelf life as well. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout. Get 20% off of your entire purchase. That's ReadyWise.com. Promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A man dressed in a bull onesie tried to burn down his ex-lover's house with pasta sauce.
What? That's real?
Yeah. Oh, wow. So this guy was caught. He tried to break into a home into the land, and he was going to steal a flat screen. Then he left a pot of Ragu sauce and a washcloth near the stove. He was trying to start a fire with it. The victim alerted police to the break-in. The resident security system notified of motion in the house, according to Volusia County Sheriff's Office. The dude tried to flee the scene, and he was in a, I guess, like a cow costume? A bull onesie? The victim said, it started out as a relationship that lasted about a week. I let him use my car for 4 months, and then I gave him $150 to fix his teeth. What in the world? So now the police apparently were aware of they knew the suspect. Oh my gosh. So yeah, it looked like he was trying to make it look like the guy, the stove was on, and then use that to burn the house down. So he was arrested in the costume. I'm really sad that there's not video of that. So let's see here. Got another. This is in Port St. Lucie. A man is behind bars. He brandished a flamethrower at police. Joseph Morton, 39, was arrested and charged with one count of aggravated assault. I mean, it's not funny, but it kind of is. Aggravated assault with a deadly weapon on a law enforcement officer and resisting without violence. So Port St. Lucie said they responded to the reports of an explosion and there was smoke in the area. When they arrived, the guy was yelling at officers from his backyard and he had a handheld flamethrower. And the police said that they told him to drop it. At gunpoint, he refused, and then he pointed the flamethrower at one of the officers, and one officer grabbed the flamethrower from Morton, and the guy ran back in his house, and he ended up finally being taken into custody. They had to, tase him practically half to death. He's being held on $5,500 bond. You can't just, point a flamethrower at police. It's not how that works. This is Fox 13. A Florida man was accused of trying to steal a generator that powered a traffic light after Hurricane Morton. Milton, why would you do that? This Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office responded to a man stealing a generator literally on a street corner. The officials say workers who were in the area gave deputies photos of the suspected thief and his license plate. They arrested him. You can apparently get, so they can elevate the crime against you, the charge, if it's during a state of emergency. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Yeah, so he was charged with grand theft of the third degree during a state emergency. Yeah, why would you do that? I mean, I know that people get desperate, but I'm just saying. So in Stuart, Florida, a man returned home after 3 days of sheltering from Hurricane Milton, and he found an alligator legit in his pool. Oh, wow. So the Emil Tacuba said he returned home from his home in Stuart, Florida. He was staying in Vero Beach, waiting out Milton, and his home wasn't seriously damaged. But when he got to the backyard, that's when he saw the alligator in his pool, and he had to call Florida Fish and Wildlife, and they removed it. He was trying to figure out how the alligator got in there because there's a tall wooden fence around his whole property. I got that question as well. You know, they can climb those things. Yeah. Stick with us. Terrifying. Stick with us. Our partners over that help bring you this program so you don't have to pay a subscription fee. And it's always very nice that they do that. It's our friends over at Patriot Mobile. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there. And you can get free activation using code Dana. And they have reliable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you're getting the best service in your area and you're not funding the left. And if you're tired of supporting companies that don't share your values and even work against your values, you need to make the switch to Patriot Mobile today. They've got plans tailored for everybody, businesses, families of all sizes, singles, dinks, whatever your jam is, they got you covered. You can keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. And they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They make it easy to switch. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Get a free month when you use offer code DANA. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT. Free activation using code DANA. And get your free month today using offer code DANA. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the top of this third hour. And the former president is, where's he at? He's at some, he's giving an interview. Well, not an interview. He's having a discussion at the Economic Club in Chicago. And so Bloomberg News is doing this discussion. Harris did not, she declined to participate in this, I believe. Which is why I think it's funny that people like Sam Stein over at NBC are like, well, Harris goes on Fox and Trump is sticking to the hen house. I mean, he's literally on stage in Chicago at the Economic Club and Bloomberg News is interviewing him. And somehow that's considered to be the conservative hen house. I'm okay. But she was apparently had declined the discussion that he's having, and she's been doing a lot of friendly media. She's doing the first non-friendly with Bret Baier tomorrow, and Bret Baier is a polite host, but he's not a progressive. It's a live to tape, meaning that they're taping it and then not editing it, and then you just run it in full. The only time that you cut off is like at the end or the beginning. You don't like edit in between. That's not what live to tape is. And I've done tons of live to tape stuff. So that's how that works. And so that's how they're running it. I don't know how long it's going to be, but I'm curious to see what kind of questions were asked. So she's, they're trying to act like it's a big deal that she's doing that. She didn't want to do this event. Well, because it's the Economic Club. What is she going to speak to? You've heard her talk about economics, right? It's like trying to listen to a drunk bridesmaid at a wedding reception spell bananas in the Gwen Stefani Hollaback song. It's just that makes actually more sense than Kamala Harris talking about the economy. All right, I don't know. I wonder if she's going to be asked about her plagiarism, too, and what kind of Glock she owns. I've got a lot of questions that I hope that Bret Baier asks. So we'll see. But, yeah, Trump is on stage there answering these questions. And in the meantime, Kamala Harris is trying to play the race card so hard. So it's, what is it, racially based loans, weed, crypto. Almost sounds like a joke, but it's real. Yeah, it's real. She's trying to do everything she can because she's hurting. She's also dragging down all of the other down ballot races. I was reading how the Senate race in Wisconsin, for instance, is not going well. Democrats are freaking out about that. There's a lot of warning signs about this one. So they said that the Cook Political Report shifted it to toss-up just in the past week. And it's Tammy Baldwin's race. I made mention of this yesterday. And it's a tight race, but the fact that it's narrowed that much is incredibly telling. In all of these states where you have senators that are incumbents or congressional members that are incumbents, and they should not be struggling this much, that's the effect of this ticket, the depressive effect that the Harris-Walz ticket has on these down ballot races. That's something else. Very interesting to watch. No, instead, she's it's a bunch of race baiting. That's kind of what she's been doing this entire time. Was this when she was on What's-His-Face, Martin Show? Was that audio soundbite you were playing where she's acting like, oh, people assess the home values of black property owners, you know, regularly. She like gives this anecdotal story and acts like that's the rule, not upon which all of this is done. It's illegal to actually assess somebody's property value differently because of race. Play that, because this is what she's been. Okay, well that's how the race baiting is so bad. That's all they're talking about, and it's not just from her; it's also from her surrogates. Audio somebody 13. Here's that bald woman from MSNBC.
And some Democrats are starting to believe the disinformation, too. Have you noticed how sharply the polls have shifted in Trump's favor over the last couple weeks?
with these claims that Trump is surging with Black and Latino voters and leading in every single swing state, according to secret internal polls, despite all the Hitler talk?
What?
Yes, this race will be far too close. Because unfortunately, we do have a fascist groundswell in parts of this country, mainly among white men, let's be clear, but in small pockets among Black and brown men, too. This happens to be a global phenomenon as women become more economically independent and seek positions of power.
I mean, that's not, look, this is not work. This does not work anymore. This does not work. Well, it's because, you know, the polls are shifting in his favor. It's because of all, she's a racist. It's because it's white people's fault. The white people have convinced the Black people to, oh my gosh. Yeah, here's when she's talking to Martin and she's trying to say that property values are assessed based on race, which actually is illegal, but whatever.
Discrimination in home appraisals. We've taken on the fact that, you know, those stories about a Black family is trying to get their home appraised. They want to get a second mortgage. They want to sell the house, whatever. And they bring in the appraiser. The appraiser looks around, looks at the family pictures, and appraises it for less than it's worth. The family knows that. They're not stupid.
The Black folks got to remove photos.
So then they remove photos and everything else, right? They remove
all the Blackness.
All of that. And then they ask a white family that's a friend of theirs. Come in, they put up their pictures, and the house gets appraised for more. Racial bias, we're taking that on for the first time. And just,
yeah, that's illegal to do, by the way.
Yes.
You can't. And that's all, like, it just, I don't believe her. I don't actually believe her. In fact, one of the notes on this was that there was a court case that was in California, and there was no bias or discrimination that was actually proved. It was just a bad appraisal. And the people who were bringing it to court tried to turn it into a race issue because the appraiser was white. And they tried to make that the issue as a way to get more money in a settlement. And in fact, the court determined there was nothing found in this. There was no racial discrimination at all whatsoever. So this is just entire, this is nonsense. I mean, and anybody who's ever done comps on houses, I mean, all those value, the assessments on property value are done by comparing what has sold in the neighborhood recently. It's not like, oh, well, this is a, you know, family of color, or this is a, this family or what. And then that somehow, unless it's meth, Kane, I will say, or ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
There are your exceptions.
Death, meth, and ghosts.
Death, meth, and ghosts. Was there an axe murderer? There was. Okay. Somebody was axe murdered in there. Right. Going to affect your property value. Were people cooking up meth in the kitchen? I would be worried that the house could still blow up. That is going to affect your value. Is the house haunted? Because if the house is haunted, then that, you know, could probably possibly affect your value. I'm just saying, you know, those things. But not the family's racial makeup. Shut up. Not the family's racial makeup. This is so dumb. Why is that the issue? But yet no one's talking about the whole, oh, remember, you were supposed to build all this broadband and help people in rural areas, and you had $42 billion in taxpayer cash. How many people did you connect? Like, I just feel like if you're going to talk about property and you're going to talk, like, that would be what you would bring up, right? Isn't that the issue that you maybe would bring that up? Am I crazy to think that? No, Dana, you're not crazy. Tanny, you're not crazy.
You're really making your case.
But Kamala, what about your rural broadband flop? Brennan Carr has a piece in Wall Street Journal today talking about how they never actually did any of the broadband stuff. They never actually made that happen. It wasn't a thing that, well, because all the DEI. Yeah, I would imagine that the DEI is in, you know, everything else too. Because remember, it was already in a lot of the Department of Transportation stuff. That's why they didn't get those charging stations built. Remember? Remember that whole story? Oh, man, we had this. There were even people that were in these are all internal documents. They were internal documents. This was not like it was, you know, claims here or there. It was, you know, people within the Department of Transportation that were complaining about this. And they had said that the DEI requirements, that's what was the big thing that was kneecapping the building of all those EV chargers. This is another thing that Harris Biden said they were going to do. Remember, they had $7.5 billion allocated. $7.5 billion. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a billion per.
They only built seven of them. They only built seven of them. Now remember all of the requirements. You had to have, you had to pursue equity in every step of the construction process. You had to have like a translator. You had to have neighborhood, like neighborhood events. You had to have, yeah, you had to have sporting or cultural events and games and contests. And you had to be able to prove that you had a multilingual staff and an interpreter. That, by the way, is literally, I'm looking at the transportation.gov website. And you can do like control F and it puts up all, it like literally throws up everything. You had to, yeah, you had to have considerations for cultural requirements. You had to ensure cultural appropriateness. This is like people building just a damn charging station. I mean, oh my gosh. Like, I can't even make, you can't even make this stuff up. It's so bad. And they said all of this was actually slowing everything down. And people in the Department of Transportation were actually complaining about it. I wouldn't be surprised if that's one of the things that is also involved in the broadband thing. Because think about it. This was like one of the requirements that they had for just like doing charging stations. By the way, why do you need to do cultural events if you're just building a charging station? In order to get the job, you had to do this stuff. It didn't matter. It wasn't enough if you were a minority-owned business. You had to be a minority-owned business and you had to have X amount of your staff be minority and it had to be like a certain type of minority. Oh my gosh, like all of these things. Like if you were a black business owner and you wanted to build an EV station, you had to prove that you had, it wasn't enough that you were a black business owner. You had to prove that your staff was a percentage minority and a percentage of that, they didn't speak English. And a percentage, and then you had to have, prove that you had an interpreter and then you had to do cultural events in the neighborhood that you were building. This, how stupid is this? This is so dumb. No wonder none of this got built. It's crazy. It's so goofy. But that's what they, but she's not asked about this kind of stuff. Not at all. We got headlines on the way.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A colossal snake measuring over 50 feet long. That's a person-eating snake was found in India. I mean, they've got these stories of these like giant snakes eating people. I mean, literally had one last month. It was really gross. But they unearthed the fossilized remains. They think it's the largest of its kind ever found. It's dubbed the, okay, Vesuki indicus. Yeah, it stretches 50 feet long. It dwarfs it like modern day pythons. It is huge. And they published this in the journal Scientific Reports. This is crazy. It's huge. The snake is huge. 27 vertebrae. It's like giant. It's a giant snake. That's all. And it, thankfully, it's fossilized and there's not one around here because that's, it is so big. Like it could eat multiple people. It would have to eat multiple like people in order to be full. It could eat an elephant. Juan's giving you in the simulcast, like that's how big the snake is. That's crazy. Yeah, no thanks. No thanks. A New York City man who lost an arm and a leg after he was hit by a train wins a $90 million suit against MTA. I mean, it did cost him an arm and a leg. I don't even know how someone, that's wild, but yeah, he, $90 million, he won that suit. It severed one of his legs, his hip joint, and most of his arm. The train operator failed to stop for a guy who fell. The guy was drunk and he fell into the subway tracks and the train ran him over. So, okay. I understand that they have like security and regulations governing that. But also when you're drunk and you fall into the train tracks, is there not any kind of responsibility that is on the part of the person who could fall onto the train tracks from being drunk? I mean, I'm just asking some questions. That's all I'm saying. A man, this is wild, developed a cone-shaped bulge on his head because he break dances too much.
That's not real. Is that real?
He He had to actually, it's a Metro, British paper. He had to undergo surgery because he spent so much time spinning on his head that he developed a break dance bulge. And apparently, I didn't even know this, it's like the cauliflower ear of the breakdance community. It's not really studied in medicine, but they said that, I guess, like, that can happen if you spin on your head a lot. I don't know. Wow. Okay. So, yeah, he had to actually get it removed, and it was the head spin hole. That's what he ended up. That's kind of gross, and I didn't even know that you could get that thing, but okay, but you can. And they said that breakdancers, it's not unusual in the breakdancing community to get cone heads because you're spinning on your head. All right, all right, all right. There you go. This two comets are going to be visible in the night skies this month. None of them are going to hit Earth. I know, we're all sad. None of them are SMOD, but two will be visible. It's the Oort cloud. O-O-R-T, the Oort cloud. It's a spherical shell, and it's invisible, but now you're going to be able to see it because these two comets. So there you go. And we got a lot more on the way as we finish up this third hour. Stick with us. More of The Dana Show coming up.
Keep your finger on the pulse with The Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper says that he is directing law enforcement assistance, not for the people who survived the landslides and the first Hurricane Helene, but for the FEMA workers. Because of the misinformation, audio soundbite 18. He is there for these FEMA workers, you guys. This is Governor Cooper.
However, there's still a persistent and dangerous flow of misinformation about recovery efforts in Western North Carolina that can lead to threats and intimidation, breeds confusion, and demoralizes storm survivors and response workers alike. If you're participating in spreading this stuff, stop it. Whatever your aim is, the people you are really hurting are those in Western North Carolina who need help. The safety of our government and volunteer response workers, including FEMA, remains a top priority. I've directed the Department of Public Safety to coordinate law enforcement assistance for FEMA and other responders who need it to help ensure their safety and security so people can keep getting the help that they desperately need.
Wow. So, you know, if you're stuck on the side of a mountain or in a landslide and you're, you know, you don't have any electricity, you don't have any water, you don't have any infrastructure, and there isn't any word as to when that's going to happen, well, tough beans, because this, the FEMA workers, it's very important that we, what misinformation is Cooper talking about per se? I mean, I would love to know what he means by misinformation, because so far, the stuff that I have seen that has been looking at, that's been showcasing, you know, the damage and the inability for people to assist and to do rescues and to do resource drops and all of those things, everything that I've seen, I mean, this has been, it's been from the people who are experiencing this, the people who are living through it. So I'm not sure what he's talking about when he cites this misinformation. It doesn't make sense to me. I keep hearing this all the time about North Carolina. It's amazing that there isn't any media really on the ground there like they have been everywhere else, discussing, illustrating what these people are dealing with. And they're still dealing with it. It's just out of sight, out of mind for a lot of the legacy press right now. What misinformation? What are you talking about? Like when you even had that, what is it? That one National Guard, he was running some of the supplies through water. I mean, for crying out loud, that was like admitted. We know for a fact that people who were trying to do, get their own helicopters and were trying to assist, that they were rebuffed when there were no other assets in the area. I mean, we know this for a fact. So what is he talking about? Is it misinformation that he mismanaged the response to this? Is it misinformation that Cooper wasn't as prepared as other governors were? The problem with this, and one of the reasons why the media just does not care, They would if this was Florida, if they thought that this was a Republican governor and that these were people in a Republican-run state dealing with this, the media would be all over it. But it doesn't serve their purpose to show what these people are going through because it's a Democrat governor, because it's a Democrat administration. And you have a tale of two responses here. You have Cooper and the way that he has handled everything in the lead up to and after the hurricane that affected North Carolina. And then the way that DeSantis handled Florida. I mean, DeSantis was like a full 96 hours ahead of time. I don't know when Cooper actually was finally pushed and prevailed upon to act. But there is a dramatic difference in the responses of these two administrations. And there isn't an excuse for Cooper being slow. There's not an excuse. There's no excuse whatsoever in terms of him being MIA. It is a dramatic comparison of two ideologies. And the press knows it. They know that it looks bad. But the problem is, and what they don't want to admit, is that that's the feature of that ideology. Because they think everything has to run through government and there can't even be so much as a private partnership. And so that's, you know, you end up having the cluster that you had with this response. That's, the media can't showcase this, not this close to an election either. Furthermore, they don't want to showcase all this stuff because then people accurately look at the Democrat leadership and then that translates into their feelings about their vote that they will cast in November or when early voting starts. And people can be emotional and they will vote that emotion. And if they're upset because they feel like the governing administration has not been up to snuff, they feel that it is not, that they have not been adequately responding to the needs of the people, then they're going to be like, well, I don't want more of that. So let me vote against it in November. It's another reason why the media doesn't want to showcase any of that. And quite frankly, it's shameful. It is absolutely shameful because people in North Carolina are also struggling, but they don't get the attention. And for Cooper to go out there and be like, oh, well, this is misinformation and we're going to provide security to these FEMA workers. I mean, they just don't get it. You just keep adding insult to injury. They just don't get it. Neither does Amy Klobuchar. I don't want to hear the word brat ever again. Audio soundbite 16. I don't want to hear this word described. Oh, just stop.
You saw the event with Liz Cheney. You know, and it's only a matter of time where we're going to see like a bus going through western Wisconsin with, I want you to picture this, Bernie Sanders and Dick Cheney together holding a sign that says brat fall. Okay, like that is like, okay.
Brat fall. Mm-mm. That's so bad. No, we don't need that. We really don't need that. We don't. Audio soundbite 14. James Carville doesn't want to pay it. He says he refuses to believe that they're going to lose. I'm just telling you my gut, just saying, listen.
That'd be a white knuckle event. I agree. David Plouffe did a interview, I think it was somebody at New York Magazine, and the polls are 48-48. That's just where they are. And I refuse to believe that we're going to lose. I don't have that thought anymore, but we have got to tell people what exactly is at risk here.
I just don't think that we're going to lose. I think that you will. I think that you definitely could. Now, this race is Trump's to lose. It is. It's his to lose. And the worst thing that he can do is to get too comfortable into thinking that he is ahead or that he's got it on lock or that he is behind or ahead of any kind of margin of error or theft. The worst thing that he could do is to let his guard down right now. It's his to lose. She's not going to be able to do anything at this point. It's too late to try to manufacture any kind of momentum. There is nothing. There's no interview she's going to be able to do. There is no appearance. There's no rally. She is not a charismatic individual. She is not a person who has that kind of positive energy that attracts that momentum. She just doesn't have it. And Walz is a buffoon. And he's just an anchor. He is just, he's a dud and he is a burden. I think he's just there, that his part of her loss of momentum is due to him. Because he's just a buffoon and everybody knows it. And everybody knows it's just so manufactured. It sounds manufactured. She sounds manufactured. So I don't know. There's no way to recover from this. I was thinking about this morning. I'm like, there's just no way that she can gain any. I mean, the press can't create it for her. The New York Times can't create it for her. You know, CBS can't create it for her. Nobody can create this momentum for her. So she has to take risks now. It has to be super risky. She's got to, I don't know. I think that her interview with Brett Baer is not going to go well. If she does like what the Rogan thing, that's going to be a disaster. Not that he's like a gotcha kind of interviewer by any means, but she's just not someone who is amiable, who has a relaxed demeanor, who can just sit there and shoot the breeze. You don't get that from her, right? You don't get that fellowship from her. Because she doesn't want to do it. And you can tell she doesn't want to be there. She doesn't want to do this stuff. I mean, this is a weird election. It is a really weird election. And it's weird to me. I still think it's close just because what's fueling the closeness of this isn't because Democrats feel that Harris, they're really behind her. It is the dislike of Trump that is fueling the closeness. That's why Democrats are like lockstep. It's not because they support her. It's because they're hate voting. And it's closer with Harris and Trump than it was with Clinton and Trump, because they just think that Harris is unaccomplished and is kind of a ladder climber, whereas they actually disliked Hillary. I don't think that Democrats dislike Harris personally. I think that they don't believe that she is accomplished, whereas they did actually dislike Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton was supremely unpopular. I mean, she couldn't even raise cash. She couldn't even raise money. She always struggled with that. Harris is kind of similar, which is why she has a lot of people go out and doing fundraising for her. But that's where he got the Bill Clinton throwing the wrench in the thing. That was a disaster. But I don't know. If she doesn't win, she's done. There's no way she'll ever get back in the Senate, because they're already passing her up in California. They've done the Kamala experiment, and they'll move on. She will be a short footnote in history, in their history. And Walz will be done as well. And I think some of the Democrats actually are okay with that, because they think if they can just hold on for 4 years, then they have Newsom. They have Newsom, and they're already rehabilitating Cuomo. Cuomo was their guy until the nursing home thing and COVID. He was their guy. And then Newsom was their second. But now Newsom is leapfrogged over him because he's viewed as not having that big stain on his record as Cuomo does, even though they're both completely compromised candidates. So I think that they're willing to, you got to remember, Democrats play the long game. And you can't just look at this election. You got to look at 28 with them. And they've got Newsom and they've got Cuomo. And they're rehabilitating Cuomo. And he's going to be totally fine and in good graces. Yes, I know the nursing home thing. But you guys got to remember, my gosh, they lionized Teddy Kennedy and he killed a chick. Like, legit left her to drown in a pond. Don't think that they can't like rehabilitate Cuomo. So that's exactly what they're going to do. So be very careful. And I'm going to tell you what, too. All these Republicans out there that have decided to sell out by endorsing her and voting for Democrats and telling everybody that they're voting for Democrats, this is going to bite them in the ass in 28. It is going to bite them, because they have made a deal with the devil. They're going to turn around and they're going to see just how compromised that means they truly are, because Democrats are going to want payback. Telling you, very interesting. So we're going to watch and see how that works. I'm going to be in Richmond tomorrow, Richmond, Virginia. And then we have an event in Richmond for one of our affiliates. I'm going to be out there with my friend Brian Kilmeade and others. I haven't seen Brian in a long time. We're all kind of like joking to see if Brian's going to wear a suit, because he always wears a suit. I don't think he actually owns like normal people clothes. I think he has like a suit that he sleeps in, probably like his pajama suit. So we're gonna see, but it'll be a fun event. I have information that's up on socials.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
My friend Charles Cook had this piece that he wrote about Kamala Harris. And I always got to give props to dudes who can cut with words. I have to read this to you. It says, the word salads, the awkward cackle, the stunned repetition of agnostic phrases, they are all byproducts of Harris's debilitating suspicion that she has no earthly clue what she's doing. She can't debate policy because she's never examined policy. She can't sell a worldview because she's never had a worldview. She can't deftly navigate a paradox or a hypocrisy or a surprise because, like a man attempting to cover up his infidelities, her political promiscuity has left her tangled in a web of no rhyme, reason, or design. Harris's aim in each and every moment is to get through the next minute, the next hour, or the next day without being conclusively exposed as a cipher. I just want to turn into a GIF then. That's great. It's true.
No lies. I detect no lies at all.
It's no cap. It is, it's true. And Walsh isn't much different. He really isn't that much different. That was cutting, and it's accurate as well. I get massive imposter vibes from Walls. I think you guys do also. He just is none of these. Political promiscuity, that's like, it's true. She's changed on everything. She's tried to walk back everything from fracking to guns to taxes. And we all know, though, that and the left knows. That's why the left isn't attacking her for it, because they know it's all BS. They know she's just saying this stuff to try to appeal to people who maybe didn't pay as close attention to her as a lot of us did, because, it's either, something that you like, or it's your job. Audio soundbite 7. I don't know what this means. I know we got to go, but maybe we should hold it. Okay, go ahead. Play 7.
Well, folks, it's time to turn the page. It's time to turn the page. Turn the page. Because America is ready to chart a new way forward.
Like, from who?
From her.
She's in office. She's been there for 4 years. All right, today in stupidity.
Well, it actually butts up perfectly to this one. This is Tim Walz also somehow campaigning against her as well, because she's been in office, right? Democrats have been in charge the last 4 years. Cut 21, Juan.
Look, you all know it. We can't have 4 more years of this. We won't have 4 more years of it.
The last 4 years again, Dana, who are in charge?
I think he thinks Trump was.
How in the hell did they get away with this?
It was Biden-Harris. I'll be in Richmond tomorrow, WRVA, our affiliate out there, and we have an event tomorrow evening as well. So looking forward to it. And then I will be back behind the mic tomorrow. We won't have the simulcast, but I'll be back behind the mic tomorrow. Have a great night.